The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Miss the first hour? Pretty sportsy. Think this hour will be pretty sportsy as well.
Yeah, it's a sportsy day, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, so
you don't like sports.
I'm sorry. Do you not like sports?
I'm okay with sports. Me and sports are cool. We're not like going steady, but we're cool.
It's like occasional hookup sort of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
That seems fair. So, Kyler Murray has decided he's going to focus on football.
Is he now? You know where I didn't see that? Twitter.
Oh, of course. Because, yeah, you're still blocked.
I didn't see his big message on Twitter. Damn it.
Well,
it would be so great if, and I know it won't happen, and it would only be great for my amusement, but if the Texans drafted him, that would be the best if he were like the quarterback here and I couldn't. Even see him tweet.
No, he'd probably, it would get to him what you said.
Not that I follow any local athletes on Twitter, so it's not, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know if I
actually like Deshaun, and I wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't think I follow anybody. I mean, maybe I follow JJ, but I don't know. I see all of JJ's tweets. It's kind of like Trump. I don't need to follow him because everybody retweets him. Yeah, he had kind of a weird exchange this weekend, too. I don't know if you saw that. But so did Arian Foster. He got into it with Baker Mayfield. So it's kind of a weird Twitter war. But, yeah, I think it's real easy to point out what the concerns are with Kyler Murray and height being the main thing. He's a pretty stout guy for being short. I mean, he's not.
For being 5'9",
yeah,
he's built.
He's pretty stocky for a 5'9 guy. But, yeah, I think the way the league's changing, if he gets in, and it always comes down to the right coach in the right situation. If he gets in the right situation, then I think he can maybe have some success because there's things that he can do to get out of the pocket, to get passing lanes. It won't matter that he's short if he's used right. And that's so much of what it is with these young quarterbacks. I think the best thing in the world for him, get drafted by something like New Orleans or New England and sit for a couple of years.
But that won't happen.
Probably not.
And somebody will take a chance on him early, and they'll probably throw him out there too soon. And
that's inevitably what happens with almost all these guys, right?
They'll stunt his growth.
Oh.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Yeah,
I couldn't help it.
There are those who think little of him.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one of AK asked if Murray pans out, do you think the narrative for Big 12 quarterbacks has officially changed?
No.
I don't know. No.
He would be the first Big 12 quarterback to pan out?
No.
Second.
Who was the first?
Mahomes worked out pretty well.
Okay, yeah.
Baker Mayfield looks like he may work out.
Okay.
So,
I don't know that I'm giving up, you know, the last how many years of history based on three guys.
Well, but the question is it these guys or is the NFL changing enough to where they can be successful?
Well, I mean, Sam Bradford was a totally different animal than Baker Mayfield. So I think we've seen all types come from the Big 12. It's just none of them have really worked out.
Yeah, but were any as well, Bradford went one overall.
Yeah. Vince Young went three overall.
Yeah, that's going back a little bit, but still.
Where'd RG3 go?
Two.
Yeah, I mean those are highly drafted guys that did flamed out.
So, yeah. Although
John Football.
Oh,
he's SEC by the time he got drafted.
Yeah,
okay,
sorry.
Well, yep, that's on the SEC then.
I mean, you got Brandon Whedon.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's a successful Big 12 quarterback.
He is a big success.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm a little leery of, and I don't want to compare him to Bryce Petty, who came after RG3 and put up really big numbers. But I'm kind of leery of a guy who has one coach like that and back-to-back Heisman quarterbacks. That ought to concern me a little bit.
Because now I want to know who's behind this. Are these quarterbacks that great? Because Kyler Murray, let's face it, and you could say the same thing about Baker Mayfield. What were those guys before they got to Lincoln Riley? They were just guys. They were washouts from other schools. So, to me, this guy might have the magic touch, but is that going to translate? And so far, so good with Baker Mayfield, right? I mean, it looks like that they've got something in him, but I don't know that's going to work every time.
Yeah, well, and I think the jury's still out. It looks promising for him, especially now that he has another running back to hand the ball off to. But, you know, like I've seen the Giants already have said he's too small. So you kind of wonder. And let's say the Jags draft him. Wouldn't they rush him in too quick?
Yeah.
Is that would be, I mean, I think that's a team that needs a quarterback, obviously. But do you really want to start from scratch if you're the Jaguars here? I mean, you'd have to sign another veteran guy, right? And it'd hopefully bring him along slowly.
Yeah.
But nobody ever does that.
I mean,
it's so rare.
Yeah,
that's why Mahomes was set up to be successful.
Yeah.
Because he went to a situation where they already had a quarterback.
Well, I think you could say the same thing about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I think his long-term development was obviously worth waiting on. And I think you get so much more out of these guys long-term if you let them adjust at their own pace to the league.
Yeah, like Deshaun Watson got to do that because they had Tom Savage.
he got one half of time to adjust, and then they were like, okay, here's the keys. And he's like, but I don't have my license. And he took the car out, and, dude, he was going 80, and everybody's like, oh, he's a natural. And then, boom, he blew a tire. And then they had to wait to get the tire fixed and, you know, drove around a clunker for a while. And
yeah, well, and so much of it, too, depends on, you know, like guys, like some guys have all these different offensive coordinators year in, year out. Like Alex Smith at the beginning was looking like a bust. Turned into a really good player when he finally got into a solid situation with the coaching staff.
I think the other problem is when you draft a guy that high, there's pressure from your fan base to play him. Even if that's not the prudent move, there's always going to be that pressure to get him out there.
Oh,
I think you saw that with the Jets this year. The Jets weren't winning, but it was like, you know what? We want to see what we've got. The people want it. They want to know what Sam Darnold is. Let's just get him out there. And it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, had the Jets gone 2-14 this year, who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
But see, that's the problem. It might have been they might have been better off to just leave McCown out there.
They absolutely would have been.
And long term, I mean, right. If you're going to write the year off anyway,
there was marginal improvement with Darnold out there. But why not wait until he's actually ready and see what he can do then?
Well, because that's the thing. If you know your team's not going to be very good, then you know putting the Josh Rosens out there as the Cardinals did. That's
another example.
Yeah, I mean, really just. Let that kid learn a little bit. And, yeah, you play him some. Let him get some experience and see the speed and all. But I think you can stunt their development. But, again, that comes down to being in the right situation with the right coaches. And, you know, like if the Patriots draft Kyler Murray and stash him, is anyone going to think twice about it?
I don't think so.
They'd probably be like, okay, well, maybe he's going
to. I mean, they would think it was genius.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe he would turn out to be something.
Yeah.
But if Brady really is going to play four more years, I can't see that.
Yep.
I honestly can't see Brady doing more than two. But, you know, doubt him at your own risk.
The Cardinals one, when you think about Josh Rosen, that's the most mind-numbing one because I mean, he went out there and he struggled. They basically David Carr'd him. They threw him out there to the Wolves. He had no chance of success. And they had paid Sam Bradford to do that job. Like, I thought they were, when they went out and gave Sam Bradford, what, like a 2-year contract?
Yeah.
Guaranteed $15 million last season. They played him 2 games, pulled him in the third, and were like, you know what? Let's just play Josh Rosen. So they wasted $15 million on what should have been a developmental year for Josh Rosen, and instead they threw him out there and let him look like hot garbage all season long. And now they're already talking about drafting a new quarterback.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
But see, that's the problem is with teams like when they're not playing well, then a lot of times the owners will get involved and say, "All right, we got to put some butts in the seats. Let's see the shiny new toy."
And I get it. It's more difficult to. I guess it's more difficult to not listen to the buzz when you're in New York City, but I would think in Arizona it'd be like, dude, we're gonna suck if Rosen's out here. Who cares? We suck. Let us get it right. You know what I mean? But yeah. Teams just don't do that anymore.
No, and yeah, it's the ones that do, it tends to work, but there's just it's impossible to be patient. Maybe they should go get a goal from Hoops and let him work on that.
Yeah.
Of course, they did that for Pat Mahomes and told him he couldn't do it anymore. So.
Oh, he's not allowed?
No.
That's too bad. Yeah, Hoops Sporting Equipment. These are my guys over at ProDunkHoops.com. That's the website where you get the best basketball goals in the whole wide world. And you may say, dude, how do you know those are the best basketball goals in the whole wide world? There's no way you can know that. Oh, yeah? How about they've got the thickest steel of any goal available on the market? 75% thicker than the best brands in the big box stores. How about that? How about they've got a tempered glass backboard that's so strong that Hoops guarantees if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. How about that? A rust armor finish, which means no rust. 30 years, maintenance free, perfect for the weather down here. They've got 4 different designs to fit your home, driveway, or backyard. Their newest goal, the Bear, fully portable. Perfect if you've got a picky HOA in your neighborhood. And, of course, they're adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle so any age can play. Or if you're an old man, you want to feel good about yourself, go out there and dunk on those kids. Get your new Hoops goal today. See it at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. Or give them a call, 281-351-9822. I got a bulletproof chest so you can hurt me. It's a brand new world. I got a brand new heart. And every day I get a brand new.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Lamont says, one sports take I hate is making a quarterback wait. Since I've been watching football, way more quarterbacks started fast and sat behind a vet. And why would you want your young stud learning behind trash? And you know, you always say this, Lamont, and I always give you the same answer. You can't blanket statement that. Every situation's different. And ideally, the perfect situation is what the Chiefs had. If you can get that and let the guy wait for a year and develop, especially coming out of that kind of system, then great. Some guys don't need that long. In the Texans' case, should Tom Savage really have started the first game last year?
Of course not.
So everybody's different.
Well, but it's a different situation because this Texans team was built to win now. The Cardinals aren't built to win now.
Right.
Josh Rosen is not, he's not God. He's not going to walk in there and take a 51 or 52 bad players and turn them into a Super Bowl champion. It's just not going to work out.
Well, and so you get him beat up behind a trash offensive line. You can set him back. And we see this, you see just as many guys who don't develop because of that who might have been good quarterbacks. And to me, it's a lot of these teams, that's what you're talking about. You get under pressure, oh, we got to put him out there. We want to see him. Well, yeah, if you get his head torn off and, you know, he suddenly is all gun shy.
Yeah.
We've seen that more often than you see a guy coming out and being a stud from day one. It's just too. It's a lot to ask. Now, you know, I don't know. You know, last year, even now, do you think like a guy? Well, a guy like Mahomes got to sit. Watson didn't, then got hurt. You know, Trubisky, I think, could have benefited from watching a little bit. I think Josh Allen could have benefited from watching a little bit this year.
He definitely could.
And did it really help the Bills? I mean,
no.
Did they make the playoffs?
No.
Did it help his development? Or
I mean, we saw some things out of Josh Allen, but is it anything that's going to help him in the long term? I don't know. And, you know, there's another instance with what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson, although they were kind of forced into it by an injury.
Right.
But they decided to roll with it because they were having some success.
Yeah.
And that's a team that had a chance to make the playoffs. But going from a 2-win team to a 4-win team, is that worth it?
Yeah, what's the point?
Is it worth getting your future quarterback broken? I don't think so. And the Browns are another instance where there was a meaningful difference in their performance of that team. You know, and that's a team that's been trying to build excitement for a long time. They've been bad forever. And when Baker Mayfield got in there, the whole thing changed. And suddenly they were competitive. I mean, they weren't good, but you could tell they're on their way to being good. That team's got enough talent that it warrants, you know, all right, let's push our chips in right now. It was Arizona. If Josh Rosen had played his best last year, that's still a bad team. That's the last place team in that division.
Got the number one pick, so
yeah.
Let's squeeze Tyler on. What's up, Tyler?
Sports, fellas, how we doing?
We're doing sports.
Hey, man, I just wanted to say thank you for that Saturday a couple weekends ago. I was in Tahoe. It was my first time somewhere legally gambling, and it was pretty nice. If I could just learn how to stay off the blackjack table.
Yeah, that's my life.
Yeah, man, I was up massive, and the dealer told me, she said, take your money and go back to Texas. And I said no. But, you know, the reason I was calling is I was just reading up on some news, man, and Dak Prescott said that he was not going to take the hometown discount to stay with the Cowboys. And I thought about it. I was like, well, first of all, he's going to make sure that somebody wants him, you know, and that got me thinking, how many quarterbacks in the NFL, where do you put Dak when it comes to rank? I say I could probably think of 12 to 15 better quarterbacks than Dak. And I didn't know if I was missing something or, you know, see what you guys thought about that. And just to touch on what you guys just said, the MVP of the league this year did not start last season, and that kind of blows my mind, man. But good listening to you guys, man. Congrats, AJ, on the new promotion. You know, keep killing it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Dak's an interesting case for me because I watch Dak play, and I'm like, he's good. Do I think that the Cowboys? So basically, when he says I won't take a hometown discount, What the Cowboys would have to be looking at is paying Dak Prescott the same way the Seahawks paid Russell Wilson.
Or Matt Ryan, or he's going to be in that,
right,
that range.
So here's the question. Do you think, and now mind you, these guys have been, when Matt Ryan had been playing on a cheap contract, Russell Wilson had been playing on a cheap contract, Dak Prescott's been playing on a cheap contract. When you pay
John Watson and Pat Mahomes are on cheap contracts right now.
Once you pay these guys, and here's what I'll get to in a second, the difference between those two cases and this one. Once you pay these guys, the rest of your team around it erodes. So it's harder to pay Zeke Elliott top dollar. It's harder to pay that offensive line.
You wind up keeping your key people. You'll keep Zeke Elliott. You'll keep Tyron Smith. You'll pay those guys a bunch of money too. Where you start losing guys is, okay, so DeMarcus Lawrence, do you let him walk?
Right.
You know, that's the situation you get into. The Texans did it with Mario Williams. They got in that situation.
So here's where I stand with Dak compared to Watson, Mahomes, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson. Is Dak Prescott a franchise-changing quarterback? I think those first four guys I named are. I don't know if Dak Prescott is. I think Dak Prescott's pretty good. I don't. I mean, those other four guys. Can you? There. I don't think you can go. You can make a top 10 list right now and not have those four guys in it, right?
Well, here's the name I want to throw out. I think this is the Andy Dalton dilemma.
He's had more success than Andy Dalton.
Dalton got that team to the playoffs. How many years in a row?
Right. Well, listen to this. Cowboys record with Dak Prescott, 32-16. I mean, that's pretty good. That's you'll take that. But I just don't know if I'm sold that he's like that guy. You know what I mean?
It's the Andy Dalton dilemma.
It might be.
Because he got you the playoffs every year, right? And then you lost in the first round. And he played just well enough to you think, okay, maybe this is our guy. We got to pay him now.
Right.
And I think they're kind of in the same boat.
And there's
the
other
problem is how do you hit the reset button? You almost have to pay the guy because what are you going to replace him with?
And they found lightning in a bottle with that guy. I mean, that's like a great find.
It's like Seattle with Russell Wilson in the third round,
or the Raiders with Derek Carr. When you get a quarterback like that, and you don't have to spend a first round pick on him, you're in just such a great position. But once you pay that guy, all that goes away, and there's something to be said for rewarding that guy. But you know, one of the examples I think of, and it's a little bit different because he got paid from the beginning. But one of the examples I think of is Matt Stafford when he signed his second deal and it was just a mega deal. Can the Lions get better? I mean, how much better can they be when they're paying a quarterback that much money? Like, we know what the Lions are when Matt Stafford plays well. They're a borderline playoff team. When he doesn't play well, they're trash. But is there any room for improvement? Is there any room for growth when you pay a quarterback like that?
At this stage, no.
I don't think so.
For him. I mean, I think his best year, you'll probably go 9-7, 10-6.
Make the playoffs, losing the first round.
Yeah, and the reality is, I mean, the price for Dak will be higher than the price for Matt Stafford because they go up every single year. So you're going to have to, you know, it is tough. And Dustin says the problem is Dallas has, if they don't sign him, who can they get better behind center? I'm not sold on him, but what – not much else you can do. And that, again, that gets back to the whole Andy Dalton thing. And, you know, I don't want to say not to compare the two as players, but certainly if you have a guy like that, you think's the guy, he's been pretty good for you, then you're going to have to pay him like a starting quarterback. So they're going to get money like Aaron Rodgers. And I do think Prescott's comment about Brady and Giselle was kind of Bush League.
It was. Yeah. Don't worry about that. Go worry about your money.
Yeah. Yeah. To, you know, when you accomplish, I don't know, 1/6 of what he has, maybe you can go there. All right. I'll tell you where you should be going. Play your poker. Especially on the weekends, but hey, even tonight. How about this? 4,000 guaranteed tournament tonight, $65 buy-in. How about that? At Lions Poker Palace. And people ask me about the cash games there. The cash games are fantastic, especially if you want to go early in the day. You get there before 12:30, you get $25 in free time. The first 15 get $50 in free time and free lunch, and the food is fantastic. Man, and they got you covered on tournaments. Tournaments every day. On the weekends, they have big guarantees, and you can make a lot of money. And it's just a cool place to play. I love the players over there. And, of course, George and Najib Lyon, they run just a great, great room. It's a great place to
get. We actually talked about this today in one of our meetings. We were talking about how many poker places popped up to start off this boom in Houston and how many of them are still standing. And the quality rooms are the rooms that are going to make it. And there's a reason why Lyon's Poker Palace is still around and still thriving. It's because they're a quality room. Follow them on Facebook for all the information about tournaments and things like that. They got TVs for days, BYOB, great food. You're going to love the place. But go in and see it for yourself. Don't take our word for it. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. That's Lions Poker Palace.
Calling to the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey, guys, we've been telling you not to wait until the last minute. Well, you've waited to the last minute for Valentine's Day, but guess what? RoseExpress.com still has you covered. You can still get a great deal. 25 roses for $39. Add another 25 roses for an additional $30. How about this? 50 roses for $69. 75 for $99. 100 for $129. Go call any store you want.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck getting the... I mean, and by the way, most of them are... If you try to order 100 flowers, you're going to be like, are you crazy?
it's Valentine's week, you idiot.
Yeah, dummy. You're not going to find that. Well, you found it. You need to get on this now, though. And I don't know how many... Eventually, they're going to run out of flowers, right?
Well,
you would think, right?
You would think, but right now they got you covered. And guess what? Thursday's the day. You can have them delivered on Valentine's Day.
That's the move right there. You order it now, forget about it, and then when it shows up, just look at your wife or girlfriend and be like, "Yeah, oh yeah, I knew that was coming all along. Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. I love you very much."
Man, if you want to get three or four of them taken care of here, you can do this.
And they are beautiful. My wife loved hers. Guys, your lady will love these as well. Easy to find. RoseExpress.com. Don't wait. Do it now. RoseExpress.com.
Hey, Houston. This is Tony Kent with the Houston Astros, and you're listening to the number one sports show in Houston, The Blitz, with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz. Lamont said it worked out for Luck because they didn't pay anyone else mega money. That's true. They also drafted so poorly around him for so long. It looks like Lance's guy has got that figured out, though. So I think they still have a window here.
I do, too.
If they draft as well as they did last year.
Because now everybody else that's good on that team is playing on the cheap.
Yeah.
I guess T.Y. Hilton's probably, I mean, he's still.
And he's also kind of getting up there in age a little bit. I think people forget how long he's been in the league. But. You know, if they can add a couple more pieces, especially on defense, then I think this is their window. And you know, they still have cap room. They've done it pretty well. Well, what was that? Oh, okay, cool. There he is, the legend that is Lance Zierlein.
He dressed up today.
Yeah, this is this one. You got your
always do
your Belichick shirt on.
It's cold back there, man. On the
it's so cold in this office.
Yeah, it's cold on the clean side. That's what I call the culture map side.
I call it the Canadian side.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we like to keep track of our, you know, refrigerators. Tyler and I will go on and just randomly throw things out if it's been in there too long.
Yeah, we keep it clean.
I live in the middle, and
so you're Buffalo.
Yeah, kind of. I've got a choice of which refrigerator I use, which kitchen I use, and I tend to use the clean side's stuff. I feel
we don't really want you over on our side. If I'm being honest, we like to keep as few people in our refrigerator as possible. I already see some vagrants coming on our side of the border.
Now, here's where I'll be honest with you. They actually offered me your office, and we're going to move you over to the old side. But I said, I don't want
to. Dirty side?
I was like, forget I don't want to do Lance like that. I'll just take a different office.
Plus, I have my whiteboard that's already up there, although I will be honest with you.
That whiteboard would have moved.
I got to tell you, that... That's a lot of space.
We're going to have to build a wall. We're going to have to build a tremendous wall.
I would not have necessarily fought it because let me tell you about this special side of the office.
Oh, you wouldn't have been in my office. You were going to be in the office next to Peter Remington's.
Oh, no. Gross. No.
Yeah. In the real dirty.
We're not doing that. Nothing against Peter, but I'm not going all the way over there. I want that middle. Yeah, all that space. You could put a ton of stuff where you are now.
Well, what? I don't need
on
a ton
this
of
side,
stuff.
It can be 40 degrees outside, but if it's sunny, turns into a microwave in the office. Oh, yeah.
I've noticed that. There's days where it's cold in the entire office. You open Lance's door and it's like a sauna.
But if the sun's not out, I mean, you freezing. Were freezing.
Right now, I'm freezing in there. Yeah.
Well, you wore, I mean, you're.
Yeah, you did. I'm dressed for freezing. Although it was 67 whenever this morning. No wonder Granato was sick today. The weather's been.
Do you really think Granato was sick?
It's his birthday. It could be a birthday thing where he just stayed out all night and he's just going to. But he's already setting up that he's sick tomorrow, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe just.
So this might be a real sick. Well, but here's the thing with
Should
him.
Should we require a doctor's note?
No, because here's why.
Because he knows a doctor that'll forge it for him.
Yeah.
No. He's a grinder. He comes in when he's sick. I've seen him come in
really
after.
Bad.
Oh, no, it's legit. Like, I've seen him come in after an all-night poker bender, gets in at 4 o'clock. I don't know why he sleeps, but I've seen him sleep for 2 hours and then come in. So, yeah, he's a grinder. So, if he's missing, he's legit sick. He gave us a lot of detail on the text message. It probably is going to work against him at some point because we'll use it against him. You got a little taste of it with Dell this morning.
Yeah.
You know, he's belligerent.
So what's the plan for tomorrow then? Do I need to come in early tomorrow again?
No, I'm waiting to hear from John here. There's no official.
Okay.
Well, there's no official. I've already started working on backup plans just in case, because he's already like, I'm not getting any better. Like, you just had the shot. You just got a steroid shot. Give it more than 24 minutes.
Yeah.
See what happens. So we'll see what happens.
Well, link me in. Let me know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was scrambling this morning.
Look at that guy's hair. You think you were scrambling? I was like, whoa. I better triple up on the coffee, but Dell and I had a good time. We handled it fine, and then when you came in, we had a good time.
It was good.
It was fun. It was fun. We got into some AAF talk.
Yeah, I wasn't up for that. Let's get into some Kyler Murray talk.
All right. What happened? Did something happen with him today?
Well, I mean, he announced he's officially committed to football, and that's
oh, did he officially say that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Football has been my love and my passion my entire life. I was raised to play quarterback, and I very much look forward to dedicating 100% of myself to being the best QB possible and winning NFL championships. I've started an extensive training program to further prepare myself for upcoming NFL workouts and interviews. I eagerly await the opportunity to continue to improve to NFL decision makers that I am the franchise quarterback in this draft.
He's going to be the first pick of the draft.
Will he be?
Yes, he will.
To Arizona? Or is somebody going to trade
Arizona. They'll trade Josh Rosen, and Kyler Murray will be the first pick.
Boy,
really? He'll get paired get out from under the Josh Rosen thing.
What a dummy organization that is.
I got to tell you, why do you say that?
I say that because and this has been a theme of the show.
I say it for taking Josh Rosen in the first place.
Well, maybe that too, but when they took Josh Rosen, it seemed like, oh, well, maybe that's smart because they're giving Sam Bradford $20 million for the next 2 years to come in and play until Josh Rosen's ready. Mm-hmm. Then it's like two bad games. Nope, Bradford, you're out. Rosen, grab your helmet. You're the quarterback now. And then he sucks all year. He never had a chance to develop.
Well, okay, so I thought the pick of Josh Rosen was panicky in the first place. It was a need, but I wasn't sure that they loved him as an organization. And then Steve Wilks gets a year. Their head coach, right? You mentioned, okay, we're going to wait for Josh Rosen. Two games, boom, in.
Josh Allen? What was the Cardinals' dream scenario?
The dream scenario was taking Deshaun Watson.
In this year's draft. Was it last year's draft?
Once you screw up, it has impacts. They didn't screw up. I mean, Houston traded ahead. But that was Rick's move, and Rick did a good job of trading up and scooping the Cardinals. But once that happens, it sets in motion a domino effect, and I think it got the Cardinals because the very next year they said, well, let's go with, you know, the – what was
the
Rosen?
The best available quarterback. He was the 10th pick.
The fourth quarterback off the board. He is the 10th pick?
10th pick.
Wow.
Well, I believe so.
No. I think it was further back.
I think that's right.
10th pick.
Yeah.
Golly, there was four quarterbacks in the top 10.
Baker Mayfield 1, Sam Darnold 3, Josh Allen 7.
Yeah. Wow. Well, anyway, they got the fourth quarterback. So you got the fourth best quarterback. Now, on their board, he might have been higher, but I doubt he was higher than third. I mean, maybe second behind Darnold. Maybe second behind Darnold based on what... Of course, Bruce Arians wasn't there anymore, so I'm not exactly sure. But this is my point. If you know for a fact Josh Rosen, if you had doubts going into it and you drafted him anyway, and now you know for a fact that he's not the guy because of the personality, maybe you saw it up close, all the concerns that were out there, and then you have a new coach that comes in. Steve Keim, to me, the general manager, is you know, this is his job. His job is on the line all of a sudden based on they haven't done well in the draft. And so they bring in the wonder kid from an offensive standpoint in Cliff Kingsbury. So why not give him the guy that fits what he does? That's, I'm thinking out loud for Arizona. That might be what they're thinking in terms of doing that. As far as Kyler Murray's concerned, I think probably his dad heard enough people chirp and somebody got to him and said, hey, this whole coy thing that you're doing, you're not making yourself more money. Baseball slotted. And if you want to go to the 40-man roster, great. Get your 40-man roster bonus, or maybe Arizona, maybe the A's got fed up. And my guess is the A's said, look, we're not putting him on a 40-man roster. It's clear he's not committed to baseball. The deal you signed is on the table, and if you choose not to take it, we'll get the money back. And that's my guess is what happened. And the whole time they love football, but you're not going to be able to leverage. If anything, you were hurting yourself by acting like you weren't sure what you're going to do. Going on Dan Patrick, that interview, that was terrible for Kyler Murray. That was a terrible look for him.
It was a terrible interview.
Orchestrated by his dad, who said, don't answer anything.
Yeah.
You know? Well,
then why are you there?
Okay, why are you there?
Exactly. Well, what do you think of Kyler Murray, the player, at the next level?
Kyler Murray, the player, is an intriguing talent because he breaks the mold for size. Okay, so I just got done talking to a former NFL player a while ago. He was asking me about Kyler Murray, and he does radio now, and he asked me kind of the same question. So this is it. Generally speaking, I can't envision a world where a 5'9+, 190-pound quarterback is ever a first-round pick, ever. In the history of the NFL, that just doesn't happen. However, you have to flow with the way football is flowing. And with that said, I think with the addition of, when you look at the quarterback that is the head coach that's in LA with the Rams, the head coach that's in Arizona now with the Cardinals, you look at what Doug Peterson did with Nick Foles, who, interestingly enough, is a 6'5 quarterback, but he used his own read, you know, college principle and concept. I recognize now that the college game is leaking much more quickly into the pro game than it had before. Like everything in the world right now, the pace has been expedited. Everything. Technology, football, everything. So now, if we're going to be playing college football, you might want to find a guy that's really good at playing the college brand of football, and that's Kyler Murray. He doesn't take a lot of big hits. He's very elusive. Much like Russell Wilson, he's got that ability to extend and then not take a lot of big shots. Unlike Russell, he's not as compact from a frame standpoint, and he doesn't play really under center much, which Russell Wilson did at Wisconsin and showed he could do, where you could run a more pro-style, you know, boot action outside zone game, which is what they ran there, and now they've started running more shotgun stuff with him. So I do think Russell Wilson's going to be his comp if you have to come up with a comp for him. He's got a live arm. He's okay at reading defenses. But I just think his ability to create explosive plays should not be discounted in today's NFL.
It sounds so much like you're describing Johnny Manziel right now.
I know. And I say...
And when I see Kyler Murray, I see more Johnny Manziel than I do Russell Wilson.
Well, this is what I say about
because of the way Russell Wilson played in the offense that he played.
I say, and these are my exact words, he's like a complex burgundy with notes of Manziel, Wilson, and Mayfield in his game. And that's what I see you absolutely see some Johnny. There's no getting around it. Johnny used to not be a bad word. It's a bad word now.
Yeah.
But the college version of him, it was what he was. And, I mean, he's an extender who makes plays off schedule like Johnny did. But, like Baker, he's got a little bigger arm. And, you know, like Russell, he's got just rare ability to elude tackles and extend plays while still looking down the field to make plays. You know, I think he loves it more. Johnny was sunk. I don't know. Johnny may have ended up sucking as a quarterback, but he was sunk because of his football character and off-field stuff. Like, he just wasn't –
He wasn't a worker.
He wasn't a worker. He loved Saturdays. He loved Sundays. He loved Mondays if the game was on Monday. But he didn't love Tuesday through Thursday, and that sunk him. That's not the case with Kyler Murray, not from everything I've heard. And this is something interesting the scout told me. I'm not going to write this, so this is the only place you'll hear this, or on my show tomorrow morning. A scout asked all the players. He went in and asked all the players about Baker. Who would they rather play for, Baker or Kyler Murray? And their answer was Kyler Murray.
They said they would rather play?
They would rather play for Kyler Murray than Baker. Kyler had him 1 year. Baker, for some of these guys, Baker had him 2 years. Kyler had one. And this scout told me, to a man, he was very surprised to hear, because I was expecting his answer to be Baker and for him to kind of crap on Kyler Murray. And he said they love Kyler Murray in that building, the players. And the players, wow, are usually pretty honest about that stuff. So take that for what it's worth.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to keep us on clock, so we'll let you get out of here. That's right. Lance Zierlein, NFL Network. Yeah, you can hear him on the bench.
Look at you, all man.
Doing my best.
Clock.
All right. Yeah, we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Check out sportsmap.com today. A little video on UH and where they rank with the selection committee. The College Basketball Dream Podcast with Brad Powers and A.J. Hoffman. You can get that now on Sportsmap. Joel has his column on what is next for the Rockets in the buyout market. I did something on the Cougars today. A.J. will have his college basketball tomorrow. I take it?
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. Before we get to the gym of the day, there's one guy who just says, clearly hates Kyler Murray. He says, text me real simple. I will bet anyone $5K that Kyler Murray won't be on an NFL roster listed as a quarterback 3 years from now. For one thing, I don't bet with listeners. For the second thing, did I say Kyler Murray was going to be great at any point? I don't know what he's going
to
be.
So. I mean, I think he's just, I mean, maybe he's responding to Lance, but Lance isn't telling you that he thinks Kyler Murray's the best player in the draft.
No,
he's telling you what he thinks Arizona's going to do. That's what people go crazy with Lance about mock drafts and stuff. This isn't like Lance saying, this is my favorite player, this is my second favorite, this is my third. He's talking to scouts, he's talking to GMs, he's talking to his sources to find out where that he thinks they're headed. And so he's doing his best projection with that. So I don't think Lance is even saying Kyler Murray's great. I mean,
well, and I mean, he's basically telling you the excuses that teams are making to draft the guy, frankly. And I, if you're the Cardinals, you're not going to get anywhere near the 10th pick for Josh Rosen if you trade him now. So where's your benefit here?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I guess you're just basically saying, well, we blew it, we're going to try again. And to me, if you do that, there better be a slam dunk prospect quarterback. And I don't think Kyler Murray's that guy. You know, because if you, and you say, oh, we'll trade him. What do you, I don't know what you think you can trade Josh Rosen for. Let's say you get a third round pick for him.
Would a team like the Giants maybe trade for him and keep him behind Eli and see if he can be the guy?
Maybe, but then think about the cap hit when you trade a guy like that.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But not that I think Josh Rosen's anything either, but all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, this one's from right here in Houston. You order out for pizza sometimes, right?
Rarely.
Yeah? You don't do it for, like, the kids want pizza?
For the kids, yeah.
But, I mean, not for you, just in
like,
general.
Like, if I eat pizza, I don't, like, I won't eat chain delivery pizza anymore. I'm a pizza snob now.
I am, too.
So, I'll there's some places that I'll order from, and I'll eat. I mean, I'm not eating pizza these days, but
right. But when you do,
when I do, yeah, I'll order from a little local place.
But you wouldn't order from Domino's. Well, A Houston family was charged more than $1,600 for a Domino's pizza that should have been less than $20.
Mm. Better be way less than $20.
But they looked into the complaint after the family and possibly others were charged thousands of dollars for otherwise standard pizza orders. The chain said wrong payment amounts were charged Friday due to an error. Like, okay, what error that you're ripping people off with this? The company said it's working with its payment vendor to fix the issue and correct any affected transactions. Apparently, this happened in 2014 when a guy in Newport was charged $307,000 for a $30 order.
Gee, I mean, stock prices got to be going through the roof for Domino's, right?
Well, I'm just saying,
I mean,
maybe.
They're making profits, max profits.
Maybe what you should do is not order Domino's. That'd be my suggestion. Regardless, that's your Sad Hawk Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Sad Hawk Jeweler gem of the day.
Yeah, hey. I had a bunch of people on the text line saying they'll take that guy's bet. You guys need to find a way to get together. Yeah. I'm not a bookie.
We're not booking it.
No. Not unless the VIG is like, well, I'll tell you what. If you guys will each put up the money in advance and we keep 1,000 of it, of the 10K total, then we'll book the bet.
That's
for
a deal.
You. How's that?
All right, guys, coming up this Sunday, here's something you can book. February 17th at the brewery, the Rodeo Clown Roundup. Show up early, do the run, 8 a.m. If you, this is optional. Let's face it, the running part is optional. But you dress in your best Western gear, rodeo clown outfit. You got to be 21 years of older. You receive a participation bandana, commemorative koozie with two tokens for beer at the finish. The great news is, if you participate in that race, you'll get a $10 discount on your concert ticket. The concert, that's that evening. Gates open at 1:30. It's going to be a hell of a good time. Nikki Lane, the Old 97s, Flatland Cavalry, Jonathan Tyler and the Northern Lights, Texas Flood, Bruce Robinson, and Casey Donahue. It's going to be a great time with great beer, great music. Grab your tickets today at carbachbrewing.com/RCRU and stop by that restaurant. If you haven't been by, I don't know what you're waiting for. It is fantastic. It's a brewery and dining experience unlike anywhere else in the city. The menu is out of this world. It's deep, and everything on the menu pairs perfectly with the beer they've got on the wall there. They're open daily 11 to 9 for lunch and dinner, 11 to 2 serving brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or just tell your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.